Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Respect me, Daddy.
Hello and welcome to the IGN UK Podcasts with three of the best boys that you know. One of the other best boys is in the gallery. We can see him now. Dale, wave in. My name is Gareth Murphy. I'm joined by...
Rory Powers.
And...
Daniel Krupa.
There we go.
Hey, podcast done.
Done with it. Absolutely done with it. How are you guys doing?
Good. Really
fun
good.
Times.
You're the only one that's not a bit hungover. So that's
yeah.
Good.
It's because I'm in the process of moving apartments, yeah. Which
and
just makes you the most...
And that's today's first feature.
Yeah.
Just makes you the most boring person alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I've just
yesterday,
been...
I've actually got a video of it. I'll show you later.
Yeah, I saw it.
It's Rory at his desk, because he usually plays games at lunch, yeah. And he usually plays Fortnite. I look over and he's just like, head so close to the screen, going, like walking around London in Google Maps. But you're playing it like you play a shooter, like you're switching around. Like
I know. I was going through one, going down one road so fast, it was like a warp pipe.
You
like
were,
the walls were just blurred.
You were like the Quicksilver, the Flash. That's what it looked like. You were moving at an incredible pace.
It's horrible. I forgot how horrible this is.
The other IGN podcast, like this week, like beyond fucking going mad on God of War, we're big into Google Maps this week.
Yeah. Have you played it? It's working.
It's good.
It's like, you can go anywhere.
You could go literally anywhere. The car went, not anywhere.
Yeah, occasionally you find that there's like a little street and it never went down. I'm like,
oh. Or you'll find a little place where they've blurred two pictures together and some guy will have like four legs.
Yeah, you know, if you find yourself on Google, like it catches, you can request to be like removed and blurred out.
Have you ever seen it? Have you ever seen the Google Maps?
Yeah, I can't.
Yeah,
well, I've seen a thing that has that camera thing on.
What would you do if you saw it? Would you like
probably
take your shirt off?
Probably just get it out.
After it? Just get it out. Maybe it'll blur and look like a mile long. You're chasing it.
Oh, it's the size of Regent Street.
There's an amazing
you gotta blur the whole thing.
Tweet the other day on that.
I wouldn't say that.
Wholesome Memes account, which is like the dog following this Google Maps car.
Oh.
And it's just like down this street, you've got like 19 of these dogs. It's the same dog.
That's amazing.
Like, it's really funny.
Oh, so good.
Again, if you want to hear about God of War, you got Beyond.
Yeah. You've actually been playing it though.
Yeah, I have actually played it.
I've done 3.5 hours of it. Apparently that is not even...
It's massive.
Like, ...the beginning.
It's massive.
But it's a massive game that I'm excited to be...
Yeah, like it's like not... Because also it's very driven.
Good.
Like there's a through line to it. I didn't realise, I only heard this the other day, that they were going for this whole like one-shot thing.
Mm.
So it's like continuous action. So the camera never cuts off Kratos in anything.
Jesus.
So it's like one continuous shot throughout the entire game.
That's badass.
That is cool.
But yeah, it's not like... a weird open world game where you're just like ambling about.
Yeah.
It's like
fucking
properly driven.
Potions and shit like that.
Yeah.
I
and
want that.
You get to a point where the game kind of opens up a bit and you can do side quest stuff.
Yeah.
But it's never like a true open world. It's like you go down an area and then it becomes a more kind of directed experience.
Yeah, that's right. What I want.
Yeah, kind of like Lost Legacy, like that Uncharted game.
Yeah.
Where it's like big open hub and then it feels open, but it's actually really controlled, which is good because it's like,
I've got a really bad attention span. Like, I've been playing Far Cry 5. I reckon I've only done maybe, like, 15 hours of it, something like that. But
that's overwhelming, though.
It's like, Dale finished the
amount of objectives on that.
That's the thing. Like, Dale finished the story because he head down and went straight through it. And he reckons he finished the story in 15 hours. I've done, like, 15 hours of it. I don't think I'm anywhere close because I keep doing stuff and then going, oh, just go do that, go do that. But a lot of the time... Sometimes I'm not even enjoying doing these side quests. I just feel like I should be doing
the chores.
That.
Yeah,
it's weird because I liked it. Like, sorry, just going on to Far Cry now, but like in Far Cry 3, like you do these bits so you can upgrade.
Well, it makes sense as well.
Yeah,
so you like have to hunt to create a holster. Whereas
this is
getting another holster is just a perk.
Yeah,
which doesn't make obviously. It's like an in-game rationale.
Yeah,
but it's still
better.
It gives a reason to go hunting. Like in New Far Cry, I don't think there's a reason really, apart from probably Chivos.
Yeah,
stuff.
I don't know.
God
of War.
God of War. What do you want to know?
What do I want to know?
Writing's good. Oh, writing's good.
That's what everyone's talking about. Everyone's talking about how the story goes.
Yeah, is the kid a little pain in the ass?
No. No, you do care for the little blighter.
Yeah.
Oh,
I found that
he's basically like, you do kind of semi-control him in fights and stuff. So he never becomes annoying in terms of AI, like he gets stuck on stuff or anything like that. He's always just, I think they do a thing where if you go off in direction and you're about to leave that area by climbing, he just instantly appears and he jumps on your back.
That's good.
I think the game's cheating that, though.
He jumps on your back?
Yeah, like if you climb something, he like literally just jumps on you and that's the game's cute. Going, we're not going to make him annoying. He's here instantly.
Yeah.
No matter where he is.
What the hell did Nagro do that?
Yeah. There was a bit like that happened back. Early on where I was jumping across a massive... like gap. I
trying to lose the kid.
I jumped across, turned around, he's just right next to me. I'm like, how'd you fucking jump that?
Yeah.
But it works because you're not going, oh, I'm going to worry about him getting into man's.
That's almost
and like in fights, if you just, like, the only thing you can really do with him, or I can at this point, is like you press square and he fires an arrow.
Yeah.
And you get different types of arrows. So you use him kind of, it's like stun enemies or as distraction, or if you're getting like really under the cosh, he can just like give you that little time to maybe go pick up some health.
Yeah.
But the writing's really good because I've dipped in and out of the old games, but I never like was mad on them.
Yeah.
And I think he was I've like read all the stories, so I know about that character and what he's done. Like he killed all the Greek gods, as it were. And there's a real good sense of mystery that I'm still nowhere near to having resolved, but like he's like left Greece and he's turned up in like ancient Norse myth.
Yeah.
Right.
And there's like a mysterious, like he's a stranger in a strange land.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite little touches about the game is it's like that thing of like, you know, like immigrant parents can't read the language.
Yeah.
But those kids can because they're born in that country.
Oh, that's
so when
cool.
like they're walking around, you learn about Norse myth from Atreus, his son.
That's
and
cool.
he's like, boy, read this for me. And he's, because it's like, I can't read. And it's like this weird dynamic of the son having to like teach the father stuff as well.
That's a cool little touch.
It's a real
it?
Nice balance because he's a stranger in this land.
Yeah.
And also like, he's had a son and like in the original games, he killed all his family because he was controlled and stuff. So there's this real weird tension where he doesn't want to get close to him, but inevitably he will.
It's not obviously... Because it's written so well, I found it really funny as well because every time Atreus opens his mouth,
he's so harsh.
He looks like he's going to fucking nut him.
He's
like,
so
every harsh. Time he says something, he's just like, oh, Jesus Christ.
No, he's so, and he's brutal with him. Like, even like when he starts to learn and get, because it's kind of nice, like he gets better at fighting, so you upgrade him. And like in fights, eventually, the progression is really, he's not like, you're amazing, son. Even when he's impressed, he's like, you did well.
Yeah.
And he just leaves. Like, no more praise than that. He's like, it's served.
Yeah.
And it's like, and you're like, because you're like, you've kind of done the fact, you're like, oh, I want a bit more from you. Like, it's the thing, you want to impress him, even though you're playing him. It's like a weird, you identify with Atreus, even though you're not directly controlling him a lot as well.
That's cool.
A really interesting thing, actually. Yeah, I was using
it. Very touching.
I think I said, like, I only played 3.5 hours, but, because we did this preview event, but I was using him.
It was the full game, it was the first 3.5 hours as well.
If I was getting overwhelmed, or if I was in the middle of a fight and then I could feel stuff coming behind me. I was using Atreus to fire the arrows because then you can see where he's firing, so you know where the enemies are coming from.
That's
so
a good idea.
So it's a really cool way of using him. You just go, right, I don't know where they're coming from. I've got two guys I've got to deal with now. If you fucking hammer the arrow bit and you're like, right, okay, it's going to be over that side then. And that was an interesting way of using it that I found.
That's why it's not annoying.
Can you do any like combo moves with him?
Loads of stuff.
There's loads
you unlock a lot of runes for your weapons that give you specials, but it's fairly simplified.
Right.
But if you want to like get into it, you can get into it.
Yeah.
If you want to button mash, it'll still look cool.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to, like, because also the combat is a bit more like, there's loads of like stupid articles saying like, it's like, oh, it's like Dark Souls. It's because you've got a shield and there's like a parry and stamina, but that's because...
It's Dark Souls. Sound like Dark Souls to me, mate.
Dark Souls, like...
What are we talking about, Dark Souls?
Yeah.
This is Dark Souls.
But like, you know what I'm getting at? It's like,
yeah,
that was so good. Every game's done it because... That's the way you should do action games now.
Yeah.
Like, there's no going back once you introduce those cool mechanics.
Yeah.
But it's, like, really forgiving, like, with parries and stuff.
So you could do it then.
Yeah,
shut your mouth.
Also, it's like...
I'll parry that insult right away.
It's also just a...
You just give yourself a little nod after that.
I know. He looked to me for it. He's like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's Atreus. He's Atreus. You're the God of War.
You're my God of War. Respect me, Daddy.
It'll do.
Let's cut that bit out. Isolate that bit of audio.
Absolutely.
That's for a different podcast. This is a nighttime podcast.
Oh, putting that on to, what, like, are we like Hollyoaks After Dark?
Oh my God, Hollyoaks After Dark was amazing. It was so good.
Was it just
good.
Really sexy?
It's just, yeah. Rutting.
Was
Everyone was fucking, yeah.
That's what,
wasn't canon.
Have you never been
it
out?
It was canon.
Yeah, it was canon. You've been out After Dark, have you?
What kind of mad town is this?
So
when the sun sets, everyone just goes mad.
Yeah.
So you had like
that's what happens in a lot of provincial towns.
It was like daytime Hollyoaks, just normal. Everyone going to the cafe. Like nighttime Hollyoaks, everyone's fucking purging.
Yeah.
I would watch Hollyoaks the Purge.
Yeah, the opening credits, like sun just setting, people just putting on their masks.
Yeah. I remember watching one where a dude had sex with two girls at the top of a stage. So like a stage set where you had like a little lighting.
Well, where all those sandbags are in films.
He was having sex up there, but he was afraid of heights. I remember the line where he was like,
terrible place to do that.
There was like two girls going, oh, don't you want to have sex with us? And he was like, because he was afraid of heights, he was like, no, if we go downstairs, I'll ruin you.
What?
I remember that line because
he's
so good.
Equally good writing.
Yeah.
Very touching. You know.
How did he get up there if he was afraid of heights?
I don't know, mate.
With great difficulty.
I can't remember.
With great difficulty, that's how he got up there.
It's a weird thing that someone's gone, this is what we'll do. This,
I'm surprised you haven't done it for more things.
Yeah.
But wait, if you only watched Hollyoaks during the day, the clean version,
yeah,
and then everything mad happens at night, surely if you're watching the day when you'd be like...
Yeah, brilliant writing.
You're
you
like,
don't
what's
have
going
to watch
on
it,
now?
It's great.
Well, everything's changed.
It was just like a continuation thing. It's like in wrestling, you have... you're like SmackDown and Raw, and then you have these things called house shows.
SmackDown and Raw sounds like a plot line. Yeah. Hollyoaks After Dark.
So you have Hollyoaks. Which one's Hollyoaks? So normal Hollyoaks is like SmackDown and Raw. So that's like the main show. So if things are going to happen, like big storyline stuff,
right,
they're going to happen on
in
SmackDown and Raw.
Oh, okay.
Hollyoaks daytime. But then you have the house shows because they're constantly touring and going, obviously, you know, like we get them in London all the time.
Yeah.
Like house shows.
Inconsequential stuff.
Yeah. It's like they basically are just carrying on the storyline. And like now and again, like... it used to happen anyway, like they'll know this more than me, but like belts would change hands at the house shows, but then by the time it comes back to SmackDown, they've changed back at another house show sort of thing.
I get it.
But I don't think that happens as much anymore.
So it's not quite non-canon, but it's like it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Like
it happened. But
yeah.
It didn't really happen.
But didn't really happen. Yeah. Yet. But if you're really into it, I think you can watch them on the network as well.
What show would you guys like to see in After Dark?
Saturday Kitchen.
Saturday Kitchen After Dark.
Sunday night, just
what show would I
on
like
that
to
counter.
See?
It's just at it.
But are we just saying like, who would I like to see naked? Essentially?
No,
yeah. Because I'm changing my answer.
Yeah.
Lorraine.
About Great show? British Bake Off, that'd be pretty good.
Are you so all the
you
content
get the cakes
is
involved?
Naughty. So like. People are doing it, but also like a little bit blue.
Yeah, and it's also like the themes of the show are tied in as well.
Prepare to try.
Prepare to try After
just
Dark.
The beeps out. I think it would be fun just to see like a cartoon go mad.
What do you mean?
Like
what?
Dexter's Lab After Dark.
I had Dexter's Lab in my head.
You
said don't want to know some of the robots he's
exactly,
making.
Exactly. Yeah.
Powerpuff Girls.
After Dark.
Ooh. Powerpuff Girls are After Dark.
Yeah. They just team up with Samurai Jack. He's going through them all.
God of War. Give it a 10. It's good. Go get
it. Yeah, give it a 10. Jonathan Dormish done a review of it.
Also, it was a brilliant setting for a game that never seen used before, really. Mm. Like, ancient Norse myth is fucking cool. Well,
what was that thing you said to me yesterday when we were making tea? That was really interesting.
When I was at uni, I had to do a module called, like, Old Norse. So, like, it was a compulsory thing. I was like... Yeah. And then I got into it, like read all these like old Icelandic epics, which are amazing and really interesting. And like Tolkien was mad on them.
Yeah.
And a lot of stuff, like he borrowed stuff from them. And then obviously a lot of people have borrowed from Tolkien. So all these things that you recognize in fantasy fiction, like trolls and ogres and dwarves and elves, they're all in Norse myth.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool to see all those things you know from fantasy, but in their like original setting.
Yeah.
And like the design on some of them are amazing.
Yeah.
Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice took a lot from that as well. Kind of like Viking Norse mythology.
What a great time to be into Viking shit.
Yeah, it was cool as well because it's the same kind of thing. I was like, all the characters in that game are like, you know, Helena, the Lord of Hell, and all these crazy creatures. I know, they're really crazy.
Well, that is the thing. Like, the realm of the dead is called, like,
and then Wario, the war god. And, but then, as soon as I started looking up the characters in the game, you're like, oh my god, these were actually characters from Norse mythology.
And one thing that I do really love, and you're going to love this, I think, they do really good voice acting, and they've cast some really good, like, people. Because I guess, instead of doing, like, you know, like a Swedish or a Norwegian accent, they've gone, like, they've cast it, like, some Scottish actors.
I saw that.
Which I kind of think brings it to life. It makes it feel kind of Celtic and Nordic in a way. And but he refers to, like, Thor and Odin as, like, ball bags.
That's good.
He goes, Thor, the big ball bag.
Is there any Welsh actors in it?
Not that I've come across yet. The voice actors for the two dwarves are brilliant as well. They're really mucky. They swear loads.
Oh, I'm really excited like,
who's this? Where's our fucking little shit to the boy and stuff?
That's awesome.
So how much have you played so far?
I've probably played about 25 hours. And I spoke to Marty the other day going, where am I? Yeah. Like, this just happened. And he's like, you're two-thirds, a half.
I'm my god!
Hell. But I've been doing a lot of side stuff as I go as well.
And though. You've been enjoying it all.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like there was a little pocket in the middle of that time where you get to a space and you know when a fight's coming because you just see the environment. And you go, oh, there's a big circle. And I just know there's going to be a big fight. And there was a little tiny bit where I was like getting a bit bored of fighting the same enemies.
Right.
But then I unlocked some new stuff that really made it more fun again.
Yeah.
But there was a little passage where it's like, I'm just doing exactly the same fights.
Right.
But then I spent a lot of time like changing all my stuff.
Yeah.
And learning a few things. And then that made it way better.
Cool.
So it was a little bit on me that.
Bang into that. I can't wait to do that. What else? Oh, we went to see this Avengers fan event on Sunday. And
was that the old BBC television studio?
Old BBC television. I was doing like, the old. And basically, it was this awesome fan event because they're not showing Avengers Infinity War before the big American premiere. So to kind of, I don't know, like hype it in the UK because they had loads of the talent over for the Junket, which we just did. They did like a big fan event where they invited like loads of people in cosplay and stuff like that. And they showed 23 minutes of the film.
I didn't get an invite. Cool.
I went.
Unbelievable.
I was hammered. I turned up at him. I'd been out in the day.
I didn't realise this. I did think you were quite giggly.
He's like blushing
red. I was speaking to him. I was like, I am funny, but I'm not as funny. And you were like cracking up and stuff. But also, the one thing I thought you were a bit pissed was...
With Downey Jr. Yeah.
Sweetie, top off. No, it's when all these cosplays went down and then one came back and there was one we didn't know who it was. She looked like Donald Trump and we're like, why is Donald Trump here?
Yeah.
And she's walking back to her seat and you like reached across me and went to her and went, who are you? And she went, I'm Everett K. Ross, Martin Freeman's character.
We just looked at each other and was like, shook our heads like, that is shite.
He doesn't even have blonde hair.
No. Yeah.
She had this bright blonde wig. Donald Trump wig on.
Anyway, the American flag.
I found her, though. I found her on Twitter. Do you know why she dressed up as her? She's like one of these mad Sherlock obsessives.
Oh,
so obviously she's...
There were a lot of them there.
Really? Yeah.
So they brought on the actors one by one.
Yeah.
And the one that they all went really mad for was Benedict Cumberbatch.
Well, they saved him for last, which was mad, isn't it? We're not really allowed to talk about what we saw in the footage.
Yeah, shoot,
We do like broad strokes and stuff. But yeah, anytime... the bits that we did see had like Doctor Strange in it, and anytime anything happened to them, they were girls next. We at the end, we were like, I want to watch Infinity War with these guys because, like, if you looked in a tiny bit in danger, they were like, oh no,
for Doctor Strange.
I know.
People love Cumberbatch,
really.
Yeah.
Why
he walked out, it was so funny, right? So, Edith Bowman was presenting it. And it's basically, they were doing like little games, but they brought out like six or seven of the cast.
Yeah.
And they brought him out last. And they had these like doors that open. It was like basically like a shite generation game or something like that. But they would introduce everyone. And when Benedict Cumberbatch, he just walked out with his arms outstretched.
Yeah,
and was just
loves it.
He's really good. He's a good showman. Like,
in the same way,
like Hugh Jackman is just loves it.
Yeah.
He's the greatest showman.
He is.
We
actually, I do believe he is.
We.
Great dance on.
We loved it. Like, genuinely, it was a brilliant
night.
And, like, the footage was brilliant. I think it was like, it was these tiny little disappointments, but they were very funny ones as well. Because it was like this weird little, there's a couple of weird things happen. One of them was like, obviously they didn't have like,
oh, you mean the
Robert
event?
Downey Jr.
Sorry,
yeah,
I thought you were talking about the footage as well.
No. They didn't have like Robert Downey Jr. Didn't have Chris Evans.
Yeah,
but they did have other people, and it was like, I don't know if we just thought it was funny, but there was a couple of bits where it felt like they were teasing something bigger than what happened.
Right,
like they were just like.
The first one is hilarious. Edith Bowman was given this script.
Yeah.
Somebody should have checked this script. Someone said. All right,
I love you as well.
She's awesome. And she goes, "Are you ready for the first Avenger?"
Yeah.
And it was like,
we were like, Chris Evans.
Bear in mind that we know who's here because we've done the junket. And yeah. People are like,
it's Captain America.
And then she goes, "You met him first 10 years ago in Iron Man."
Yeah.
Like, oh.
Robert Downey Jr. here.
And then she goes, she goes, "Yes, the voice of Jarvis." The Vision, Paul Bettany. The door's just open. He's just there going, "I'm great."
Yeah. The first Avenger, like, Jarvis.
Like, obviously, everyone claps. They're excited to see him. Yeah. But it's just a bit like...
Jarvis, the first Avenger. It was like shittest spin-off comic of all
like,
time.
What was the Black Panther one? It was like, we've got Black Panther's sister. And then she just dish it right. It's like, cheers for that. that was really good. But then,
please welcome Stan Lee's agent, Melissa.
Stan Lee's blood.
Who likes Captain America? Well, so does Elizabeth Olsen. She's here tonight.
Get her out. It doesn't.
But so when we went in, we were given these bands, right? And like sort of behind the scenes, well, we'd seen the footage already. They showed it to us last Thursday, and Krupa said, "Like, oh, we got these tickets for this fan event. Like, you know." I'm going to go just in case on the like tiny chance that they do this big surprise
by the Oprahs
where they show it. They show the whole film.
They did that?
Listen.
No, I mean, they've done that before.
No, because it's unprecedented really not to show the film like before, to press before junket.
Yeah.
But it's because they just want to keep it super secret what happens in the movie. But I just wanted to, you never know.
Yes. You'd be kicking yourself.
So we went along and you got given these little bands which lit up. During it as well. So it's like, you know, you've seen them like Coldplay gigs and stuff?
Yeah.
Like, so when you hold them up, all the stadium is like the same color.
So they look like Infinity Stones or something.
Kind of, yeah. Basically, I think that's what they were going for.
That's cool.
So we had these bands on, and the Russo brothers, right at the end, were like, we're going to do this competition now, and the person who wins is going to get to see Avengers Infinity War before anybody else. And everyone was like, oh my God, it's going to be amazing. So you're like, right, your bands, if you win, it's going to go red or blue. It's red, right? So
that's a cool idea.
So everyone's band started like going, and then one goes red and this guy stands up and everyone's like clapping him going, oh, he's going to get to see Avengers Infinity War before anybody else. And everyone's like, okay. And then I was like, well, he's going to be invited to a screen or something. And then they go, oh, but that doesn't seem fair though. What about, and they pressed the button again and everyone's bands went red. So we were like, we looking at each other going, they're gonna fucking show it. They're gonna show it. And
I was like, well, because I really need a piss.
Yeah. And they were like, oh, they're gonna show it for anybody else. And
you're slack in the US. It's now, it's happening.
Yeah, it's happening.
Like, and we were like, oh my God, they're actually gonna show it. And they're like, yeah, everyone in here is gonna get to see it before anybody else. Now we've got 23 minutes of footage to show you, but you will get an email. And it was like this mad explanation.
It was weird confusion. Oh yeah. Star-Lord behind me was kicking off.
Yeah.
Actually, that's another funny thing is good job a lot of stuff happened because we can't talk about the footage.
Yeah.
At the beginning, they had a cosplay competition and some people put in a lot of effort. It was
It
was an incredible Doctor Strange, an incredible Ant-Man had come down from Liverpool.
Yeah.
So an amazing,
you know, that
Captain
incredible
America.
Doctor Strange? She was friends with Everett Ross. I found them on Twitter.
Really?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That Doctor Strange is really impressive.
Yeah.
And they all like did a big lineup at the front and there was like this warm-up act
before
Edith Bowman came out.
Oh, God,
and he,
no.
I think he had to fill for an hour because like maybe the cast were running late.
Yeah.
He
was fill for an hour?
Yeah.
That's a bad amount of time.
He was saying some mad stuff as well, like stuff really not appropriate for children.
No, yeah.
What the fuck is he saying?
Anyway, he got all these people out on the front to do like best cosplay, and you'd win like they had like merch to give away.
Yeah,
and there were a lot of people who proper cosplayers built like their own outfit, and then there's obviously lots of kids just in like Spider-Man costumes they bought from Tesco,
equally good.
And he was just like. Gives like the prize like a little boy who's dressed as Spider-Man and a little boy who's dressed as Black Panther.
That's bullshit. You should have given it to the ones who put
Captain America who came down sit next to us, fuming.
Absolutely furious.
He was like,
yeah,
muttering under his breath, and then he sat down next to his wife, who was dressed as Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
He was just, oh, so you know, like that really passive aggressive, yeah, with partners when you see people in couples, just don't mention it, just don't.
He's just holding his fucking shield, just like, just bullshit, I should have shielded.
He put in the work. He put in the work. He should have got it.
Yeah.
I say the host, if he's making inappropriate jokes already, should have taken the piss out of the kids.
Yeah, yeah. He wasn't far off that, to be fair. Some, yeah, of the stuff he was saying, but yeah, like we've seen the footage twice now, and
it's so good.
It's really good.
It's like that. It's brilliantly paced, and it feels, yeah, like just all those characters colliding, but also riffing off each other, yeah, is just really funny.
I think like it alleviated some of the, I think what a lot of people have been saying, and I don't think this is true, where they're like, you know, oh, it's gonna be too much. Like, how are you gonna get all these people to do anything? It's like the way that they're doing it is, they don't have to explain anything because,
yeah,
they just go, everybody knows everything.
It's done.
And it's,
yeah,
like the comic book. It's like,
yeah,
Spider-Man can just pop up for this bit,
yeah,
and do his bit, and then, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
And then like the plot is super simple. Like,
yeah,
they're just like, it's two Infinity Stones on Earth. We'll stop him getting them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's like,
and there's two in space that he needs as well.
That's so the best thing that I love, yeah, about Marvel movies is that it like, it doesn't handhold at all. Like, it knows, either you know the lore of all these characters,
yeah,
or you don't need to know
or
it to enjoy this
have
movie.
A good time. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
It's like Spider-Man not showing
it,
like, the Uncle Ben murders. Yeah. Like, you don't need to know it, and
not
if you
anymore.
Already know it, then you know it.
Yeah, and it's, they like, kind of allude to it in some ways that, like, play better if you do know it.
Absolutely,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
So it's like, it's cool that they're doing that, yeah, again. You know, they're not having, like, it doesn't start with flashback scenes to all,
yeah,
the Avengers films.
Also,
or something.
Also, the, like, one scene is Thor meeting the Guardians. Can't, like, go into, like, lines and moments,
yeah,
but, like, just again shows that. I think Chris Hemsworth is one of the funniest actors.
Yeah.
He's so good at comedy.
I'm so, yeah, glad he's got a chance to be,
oh,
funny,
man,
as well. Like,
especially,
imagine going into this movie if Thor was the Dark Lord.
Oh,
Thor. Like, it'd be so
I
different.
I think the way that they've, you know, obviously, a lot of the MCU, and I think in a few weeks' time, we're going to have like a big MCU podcast special,
yeah,
where we'll have the Russo brothers on it.
Yeah.
Oh, a little tease. Like, I think they kind of, a lot of it is planned, but also they've kind of reorientated that universe a lot. Like,
yeah.
I think with Dark World, they were going down something more serious, and then they realized, we don't need this character to,
yeah,
be in that place,
yeah,
for him to like be in this universe. We need,
yeah,
to bring that well back.
Oh, I'm so excited. Didn't see, you didn't, no cap though.
No cap.
In that footage,
no,
okay,
no,
it's fine. It's fine.
I want to see him with the beard. That bit where he comes out of the shadows in that trailer is,
yeah,
oh, dude, the bit
it's
where he's
beautiful.
Grabbing on the,
oh,
big hand. Oh my god! I'm
out of context.
Faint.
If you didn't know anything about that movie, you're like, what?
He just grabs a big hand.
I can't. I'm gonna faint.
Oh, the bit in that original trailer where he says, "Get this man a shield," gave
so
me goosebumps.
Funny, yes.
Oh man.
Anyway,
you had a big week, Powers. Because you got retweeted by The Rock.
I did.
Oh.
Yeah, it was John Krasinski. He knows my name
knows
now,
name.
And then next day got retweeted by The Rock.
Yeah,
that was
so
pretty
we
good.
Had
that was
good. For his
working
new film.
My way out. I'm too big for you jabronis anymore.
All right.
It was my tweet that got retweeted, just so you know. So, like, I can build you up and I can break you down. Okay?
You can literally go delete it.
Yeah. But the Rampage movie is out this week. And because of that, we had a Rampage arcade machine come around and we all had to go over. And you climbed on top of it. And
you
The Rock liked
it.
Yeah. Rampage is okay. I was a bit bored because there's not enough. Like, you see that poster. Those animals should be fighting all the way through it. Like,
and that's kind of what I would have wanted to buy a ticket for.
Yeah.
Is like 20 minutes exposition and then like just an hour of robots,
yeah.
Yeah, of Rampage.
Absolute,
yeah.
Absolute rampaging, yeah. It's not enough of it. Not enough rampaging. Like,
what does The Rock play in this movie?
The Rock plays, well,
is he the wolf, the gorilla? Or the...
All three.
It would have been awesome
if he
did play.
To be fair, if he transformed.
That is what happens in Rampage, the video game.
Yeah. Like, or what if, like, two of them were beasts and then,
yeah,
he had to, like,
turn
into George
into one,
to,
yeah,
fight them. Like, that would have been really cool.
That
would
have been sweet. That doesn't happen.
Oh.
He plays.
So it's like all the different roles. That's,
yeah,
actually a good feature.
That's a good feature.
The all the jobs The Rock has done. It's like. Really?
Yeah. He plays Davis Okoye.
Davis Okoye, like the tree.
Okoye, yeah. It was Davis Okoye, I think. And yeah, he basically, at the start, he's working at the San Diego Animal Research Center, and he's an animal research person. Who's
why is he so jacked?
Yeah, who's an expert
that's
in gorillas.
That's the thing about all these roles. It's,
yeah,
like, that can be a person in real life.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's an expert in gorillas. He's double the size of everybody else who works in that office.
Including the gorillas.
He's not far off the gorilla. But then, if it transpires, like, this is isn't spoilers, is it? Like, no, he used to be in the army and he was wicked.
Okay.
But that's the thing, like, if, you know, we work in an office with, like, some people who are, like, fairly jacked. Yeah. Rory,
thank
as well.
Thank you. As well?
But no, as well as those other people.
Oh, right, okay, thank you.
Manny used to be easily jacked, dude, but... No, if someone, the Rock were to you, you'd be like, that is ridiculous.
Because that's the thing,
he's researching a role.
He's like, undercover.
He's, he's talking about DNA and stuff at the beginning, and you're like, you know that much about that? Like, it's, do you know what? It's fun. I think if you have 3 pints and go see it, you'll have a good time. But it's
just, a morning screen.
Yeah. It's strange, though. It's just because he's not really doing anything different. Like Baywatch, he was doing something slightly different. And even though I didn't like that film, I do appreciate that. Okay, he's doing something like different with that character.
Jumanji's supposed to be good as well.
Yeah, Jumanji's meant to be good. That. But this is, it's just a bit boring. And I think it shouldn't, it has is no...
Is he doing too, like, he's got this a movie out like every 3 months. And like, obviously doing the day jobs we do.
Yeah.
I feel like we get emails about Rock, films Rock all the time. Yeah. And I know it's because also Skyscraper's out in like a couple of months.
Yeah.
But he's in...
he doesn't need the money, surely.
That's the thing, maybe he just loves... working and being in loads of films.
I mean, then, evidently he does.
Yeah, like, he does. He, you know, he's always that thing where The Rock can really open a film.
Yeah.
But then does that, if you do keep doing loads, does, I don't know, is it saturation where people just go, oh.
Another one.
Like, if it felt, is it like something to look forward to? Like, oh, new Rock movie.
Yeah.
But then it's like, there's another one.
Yeah.
Well, especially because, like, I feel like in the last couple of years, there's been so many Rock movies where it's just him in a city that's being destroyed and he's just got to like jump off fallen ledges and rescue people in helicopters. It's that same it's that like same kind of feeling.
Well, that's the thing,
but it's like at least Jumanji was different, you know,
right, like, Baywatch. There's a lot of those films, I bet if you took a short clip you'd be like,
I don't know which one
is. Yeah,
I'd struggle to tell you what that is from.
Exactly.
You take away like obviously George.
I'd like to see Baywatch. Him doing other stuff.
The thing that's good about Rampage is the other people in it are good. Like Naomi Harris is really good in it, and I can't remember the last time I saw her in something, but she's generally quite good. But Jeffrey Dean Morgan as well is having such a laugh in this film. Like he's playing a like an old cowboy, like a really camp cowboy, and he like says like an old cowboy once said, and like he says that line about 4 times. He's talking about cowboys a lot.
I just watched your interview with him. We've done like the responding to IGN comments thing. He's a proper dude, isn't he?
Yeah, he's brilliant.
Like he's got a real charm to him, like,
oh, absolutely, yeah. When I went and sat in, so yeah, by the time this comes, it's on Saturday morning, you have to watch him responding to IGN comments. So if you're a Walking Dead fan, like, you have to watch this video. But he's got a couple of tattoos, like prison style tattoos on his knuckles. And when I sat down to him, for some reason, the chairs in the junket were really close, and when I sit down and explain the concept to them, I sit down and then I stand up behind the camera. But when I sat down, he was really close, and he leans in when he talks to you. So I was like, he's closer than we are now, to me. He was just like, I was explaining to him, but he was just not listening. He was just looking at my hands. He was like, I'm just looking at what work you've had done. And I was like, oh yeah. And he was like, did you get those done in prison? I was like, no, did you? It was like...
For people who don't know, the tattoos he's referring to is a robot toaster.
Yeah. And a beer. The thing is, though, that is generally a joke that I do say at junkets because you do them so many times. And I'm just like, I use the same jokes on everybody because if you can make someone laugh at the beginning, then they're going to go along with the concept a bit. And every time I walk in, obviously, if my arms are shown, people are like, oh... Like, I'm just looking at tattoos. What have you got? I was like, oh, I had them done in prison. And then they go, like, and it's like a funny laugh. And then you're like, right, I've got them. This is going to be good. Yeah. But he
said, also this bit scared of you, which is good dynamic.
But then he said it to me, and I was like,
why do you think your film was shit?
Yeah. Can't say anything to me. I've been in prison. But that when he said my thing to me, I was like, how does he know about the prison joke?
Because I've just ahead got that
you've interviewed before.
Yeah.
Yeah, imagine.
But
what were his tats like? Are they cool?
They were mad. They were like little prison tats. He looked like done himself.
What's a little? All I'm thinking of is
like on his knuckles.
A tattoo
like,
of like little prisons.
He's got like little X's and stuff. Yeah. On his knuckles.
Are those prison tattoos?
They do look.
They look prison-like.
They kind of like they're not like super stylized like Gaz. Yeah. Like, there's not
like. Look like you could have banged them out this morning.
It's like you've he's done them with a bic.
Yeah.
A weird thing. Like imagine if you were still in prison. It was like some weird program you were part of. They just let me out to do junkets. This will run on prison TV.
Is there internal prison system?
It's
TVs,
big. Yeah. It's got a big captive audience.
Massive in prison.
Come on, captive audience. Jesus.
That's good. Do you think they're having like the board meetings and they're like, so the project's going okay, inmates really responding well, a couple of escape attempts, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah. Go. Tricky like that, prisoners.
As soon as the handcuffs come off, they can fly. They can really move.
Can we lock down this junket screening?
Yeah.
Oh, lovely. He's like, Gav's gone on the run with that guy from Walking Dead.
Negan.
Negan took
Gavin
him.
Gavin Negan.
Oh,
Jesus.
If you can't trust Negan, who can you bloody trust? Oh, did he give you the card? SD card? No. Let's sort that.
We haven't even got a video of it.
I'll let him know. too hungover to do a good intro. Keyword countdown. Time for keyword countdown. It's keyword countdown. Time for keyword countdown. It's keyword countdown. Keyword countdown, huh? Hey. What a jingle. That is a brilliant jingle. When I edited the podcast last week, I remember. Are you looking for the answers?
I'm looking for a pen. I usually have a pen for this, but I don't have a pen.
Don't give him a pen.
It's all right. I'll go through what ones there are at the end. If you don't know what Keyword Countdown is, IMDb categorized their films via a bunch of crazy keywords. What I've done, or what Matthew Cooper done as this week for us, is pick 5 films, 10 keywords a piece, and there's a link between them. The link is an absolute banger, and it's one you can definitely get.
Okay. Hello. You only looked at Dan when you said that, though, so I'm a little worried.
I was looking at you. I was looking at the room. I'm just in the middle, and I said, hard. Here we go. 5 films, 10 keys.
It's like Bostonian,
though. Yeah. Good, isn't it? We were hanging out with Terry last night, is what it is. She's been rubbing off.
You are hungover, aren't you?
Yeah. It's all right, we're going back out now. It's fine.
We are going out tonight again. Hey, young forever.
Yeah. Oh, I feel awful.
I like it's like, oh yeah, the video game BAFTAs last night. Like, hungover, did you go to? It's like, no, we went to the pub underneath our office. You don't get invited to the BAFTAs. Yeah. Oh, it's weird, that.
No, what invite? I had a kebab.
The last time, I got in trouble, not with the BAFTA people, but I got in trouble with Konami last time I went to the video game BAFTAs, because I was interviewing people on the red carpet, and the Namco guy, not the one that we know really well, but it was another guy who was just like, Kojima can't really talk to anyone. I was working for CVG, and I was like, oh, well, we need time with him, and just... Like, I've learned that if you're a tiny bit overconfident at games things, you can pretty much get whatever you want. And he was like, oh, I'm sorry, like, we can't have a Kojima. I was like, well, I need him. I need him for the piece. And the guy was like, okay. So for some reason, the only people they talked to, and at the time, IGN were there as well. I remember Luke being down there. But the only people that they spoke to on the red carpet were BBC and CVG, me. And when they came to me, he was just like, it was just after fucking... Revengeance had come out. I was like, oh, you know, you must be really excited to hear this game's coming out. And he's like nodding away. I was like, but what everyone really wants to know is, what's your favorite dog? And the translator kind of looks at him, and Kojima's like, whoa, did he say dog? And then he starts talking about his dog. And in the video, you can see just the PR, the Konami PR behind, just being like, what the fuck is
loading a gun in the behind him.
It's like, could be worse.
Like, yeah, this is the last time you'll speak to him. but I think he was like wanted it to be like quite serious and stuff like that.
What was his favorite type of dog?
I don't remember.
I was working. I was working getting blacklisted from the BAFTAs.
I'm trying to think. I think it's because in the video I did a Photoshop of Kojima as the dog that he said.
That's why we don't do those BAFTA presents things or like posted in conversation with Kojima. So what's your favorite dog? And then I'm going to throw it out to the audience.
Yeah. My thing is,
I really want to know now.
I'd rather stuff like that than be like,
what was your inspiration for the new game? Do you think you'll bring it to modern day consoles?
BAFTAs are good.
Here
we go.
Where'd you get your ideas from?
Film number one. God, he's put the fucking titles at the top. Oh, this is going to be an absolute struggle.
Minefield.
It really is. I'm literally going to put my thumb over it. Top Secret File.
Suicide Squad.
Reference to Beverly Hills, California.
Beverly Hills, Chihuahua.
Little boy pouring an alcoholic drink.
Ooh. It's like that place we had Carvery in Andover, yeah. where we were served by a 10-year-old
tiny
at the bar.
Butler.
But he had a really deep voice.
Right.
We don't do food.
Threesome.
Beverly Hills Chihuahua.
Communism.
Ooh.
Woman rubs her foot on a man's crotch.
Oh, here we go.
I actually don't think either of you have seen this, as far as I know. Film within a film.
I don't think I have seen this.
Hail Caesar?
Drug trade. This is hard. Voiceover narration. Detective. Top secret file. Reference to Beverly Hills, California. Little boy pouring in an alcoholic drink. Threesome. Communism. Woman rubs her foot on a man's crotch. Film within a film. Drug trade. Voiceover narration, detective.
I don't think I've seen that. They're all some very distinctive things in there.
Yeah.
Inherent Vice.
I haven't seen it.
It's a banger. It's on Netflix now as well. You should watch it. It's very, very good. Here we go.
Still even. That's fine.
Fucking hell, titles at the top. And remember, if you don't get them, it's good for the people at home.
It is,
it's better, which is what we're all about.
While we're doing it.
Servicing the people at home.
I almost just read out the fucking film. This is a nightmare.
Highlight them.
Living that's worse.
No, highlight the thing underneath them. Don't highlight the titles.
Here we go. Child with a gun. New York.
Home Alone.
Winter.
Home Alone 2.
Financial problem.
Trading Places.
That's a very good guess.
Coming to America.
Husband-wife relationship.
When Harry Met Sally?
I don't know if you've seen this either.
Oh.
It's okay. Truck hijacking.
Ooh.
Oil. American dream.
A child with a gun.
And oil. And oil.
Immigrant. Grunt.
Immigrant?
Immigrant?
Immigrant. Final clue.
Golden Child.
West Side Story.
1980s.
Golden Child.
No.
West Side Story.
Child with gun, New York, winter, financial problem, husband-wife relationship, truck hijacking. Truth hijacking. That's a new film.
My God.
I love that.
Starring Donald Trump. Oh, yeah. Political.
Get Chrissy Nolan on that. Oil.
Chrissy Nolan.
American Dream. Immigrant. 1980s. A most violent year. If anybody got that, please tweet me at Cameron Gav. I'm interested to know how good you are.
That's on Netflix as well, Most Violent Year.
Is it?
Wait, you said the name?
Yeah, the way you said that, it wasn't very clear.
Sorry. A Most Violent Year.
Oscar Isaac. And,
I thought you just read all those off and you were like, oh.
Jessica Chastain.
Yeah.
Ah, right, okay.
It's worth watching. But it is quite dry.
This is a hard one. I'm glad we're...
Sorry, aren't seeing them.
Yeah.
Here we go. Night Cityscape.
Have we seen this one?
Yes.
Okay.
You both have.
Okay. Daredevil.
Oh, you definitely have.
Nightmare on Elm Street 2, you know Freddy's Revenge.
Surprise ending.
Usual Suspects.
Chase.
Phone Booth.
Self-sacrifice. Strong female character.
Three Billboards.
Nightscape was the first.
Cyberpunk.
Ooh, Aeon Flux. Ghost in the Shell.
Mafia.
Blade Runner.
Oh, you're skirting around it. You all
Aeon Flux and Ghost in the Shell sound very...
Akira?
No. Atomic Blonde.
Future.
What is this?
What is the other one that's like them?
I know.
Time Travel.
I'm going to be kicking myself.
Time Travel. The Matrix.
Imagine it was.
It's not time travel, not
what's that one?
Final clue.
What's the one with time travel?
Meeting future self.
Looper.
There you go.
Yes!
I said that same time.
No, it was a second. Oh. Split second. They're not the same.
Female lead.
You're skirting around it. Strong female character.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I got in my head female lead.
Yeah.
So did I.
Do you know what I always think as well is, I was just thinking of this now, when you get in my head, when I was always playing it, I always had to stop myself from thinking that the keywords are like the film. So like self-sacrifice being clue number 4. In my head, I always just think, oh, there's a self-sacrifice in the beginning of the film rather than
it's a chronological listing.
Yeah.
Of
I always had to do that. It always used to fuck me up.
Not as much as putting the titles in front of the films, apparently.
From the man behind the game.
It is fucking pain in the ass. I almost did it then. It's a joke. Minimal cast.
Ooh. Ghost story.
Upside down camera shot.
Psycho.
I'm not getting it from that.
Dancing.
La La Land.
Female frontal nudity.
Ooh.
Hollyoaks After Dark.
Stabbed to death.
Zodiac. It's not minimal cast.
It's fucking loads of people, right? Yeah. Reference to Jackson Pollock.
Pollock.
Locked in.
Misery.
All good guesses. Turing test.
Ooh. Ex Machina.
Yes, well done.
Oh, balls. I just watched that like 2 weeks ago.
That's
wow.
a good film. That dancing scene is brilliant.
It's, so it's really good. The other one. Oh, sorry. No, 3 points, not four.
Damn it. I had the lead.
Artificial intelligence, robot human relationship. The last one is so hard. I'm so sorry. This is a hard week. This is a hard week.
Ooh.
Okay, but if you don't have the hard weeks, then it makes it easy. I don't know.
Have I seen it?
Artificial intelligence, robot human relationship is the other one. I would say, no, you haven't.
Go on. Odds are against me then, I reckon.
I think so. So you're on one guess with 1 point. Krupa's on one guess with 3 points.
You happy with this win?
Yeah, I am.
All to play for. It's all chuffed. To play for. All to play for.
In a sense.
I thought like you could have added on minimal cast. Like, if you listen back, I hung on minimal cast. Yeah. I thought he's going to get this.
Minimal cast. Beep, bop, boop, boop. Doing the robot. All right, you're giving him a bit of a hit here.
Shaving his head and doing his Oscar Isaac face.
Here we go. Hotel.
Shining.
Lynchian. Creativity.
Grand Budapest Hotel.
Two-word title.
The Shining.
Inner Turmoil. He's fucked up, yeah. Sorry. Lynchian.
Say one twice.
Yeah. Fuck.
But that is very Lynchian.
Yeah. Maybe he's done it on purpose.
Yeah. Why actually?
Well done, Matt Cooper. You're a genius. 1940s. Writer's block.
Don't say The Shining again.
No.
Film industry. Los Angeles, California. That was the last one. Hotel, Lynchian, creativity, two-word title, Inner Turmoil.
It sounds like something
Lynchian.
I would really enjoy.
Yeah.
LA Confidential.
If you haven't seen it, you'll love it. 1940s, writer's block, film industry, Los Angeles, California, Barton Fink.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, you'll love it. You'll absolutely love it. If anybody got that, please do tweet me because and let me know how you did on this week because it's fucking nailed.
That was a hard one, yeah. I'm glad I got 1 point.
Yes, you got 1 point in that.
That's so, okay, I'll take it.
Barton Fink, Ex Machina, Inherent Vice, A Most Violent Year, Looper. It's a very good link. Something to do with...
Two actors playing the same character?
No, but you're right in thinking about something outside of the film. No.
Writer directors?
Yes! Well done! Well done. So you get another point for that. That's really good, Krupa. I'm glad you got that. So 4 points Krupa this week. 1 point Powers.
I'll take it.
Let me know how you all done, because that was fucking nails.
That was a nail.
Well done, Matthew Cooper. What we got?
Really good feedback. We can do these in any order. So I think this is discussed on the podcast the other week about bad gaming memories.
Yes.
So awful things. Maybe you go first, Gav.
Okay. So it was a few days before my birthday. Not mine, sorry. This is from George. So it was a few days before my birthday. I would have been turning 8 or 9 years old. I opened a drawer to find all my birthday presents early.
Oh my God. The ultimate birthday present.
I think there was some singing game for the Wii and a few other things. But for the Xbox, there was Bioshock. Now, my mum basically, oh, sorry, I was reading that like a madman then because I was like, I'm sure we've had this, but we've had a similar story from Alicia last week, but that's what it is, but it's not this. I opened a drawer to find all my birthday presents early. I think there was some singing game for the Wii and a few other things, but for the Xbox, there was Bioshock. Now, my mum basically let me have one thing, then put the rest away for my actual birthday. She didn't know what the game was, neither did I. I got to the scene after the game reveals Rapture, the pod docs, and the lights go dark, and some man begs for his life to then be slaughtered by a splicer. It spots me and then tries to cut into the pod, and by this point, I'm in complete fear-induced shock. I don't move from the pod, I'm too scared to move off my bed. After about 30 minutes in the dark, my mum comes in to check on me, thinking I'm having a nice time bringing in some sweets or something to have while I play. I burst out crying so badly to the point I started hyperventilating. The game was then quickly put on the shelf next to Viva Pinata. I don't know why he's put that there, because Viva Pinata is not a scary game. And strongly ignored.
What? Pinata's coming to life.
Like, you should go back to Viva Pinata. It's wicked, mate. Still to this day, now being 19, I haven't got near in the original Bioshock, and reminding myself of the opening on YouTube has done nothing but give me anxiety and a hard night's sleep. George, fucking hell.
That's really traumatic.
Yeah, that did happen to me with Resident Evil. Like, when the dogs break through, I shit myself, like, took it out and put it in a drawer, and then didn't go back to it for months. Like, absolute months.
I had to, with my Nintendo 64, I had to convince my dad that I was mature enough to play GoldenEye. Mm. Like, because it's nothing. I was like, it's just a shooter game. It's not, like, scary or violent. So I played it for, like, a whole night.
Making your voice really deep.
Yeah, putting
your socks in your shoes so you look taller. Embrace listen, Dad, I'm ready for GoldenEye, okay?
I'm wearing his suit. It's giant on me. Listen, Pop.
Spiked up your hair so you're really tall.
Like a Super Saiyan. I played it all that day, had a great time, and then just had nightmares all night. Serious? That I was just shooting people in the face. And I was just crying for, like, a day, and they had to take it off me for, like, a couple of years. Really? Until I was older. Yeah, I think it would have been fine like a year, but they were like, he's not getting it back.
I don't care how deep his fucking voice is. That's funny.
All right, do you want me to go next?
Yeah.
I have an email here from Toby, and Toby reads, I've got two, I guess he's referring to two bad memories.
Yeah.
The first one was getting a near 100% of San Andreas on the PS2, and my brother, who was two at the time, stuck
it's good, isn't it?
My mind's going wild now.
It's a weird word to come across in an email, isn't it?
I just wasn't expecting that at all. Sorry. San Andreas on the PS2. My brother, who was two at the time,
I want to know what this fucking word is.
Stuck raisins in the PS2. Because I didn't know.
Stuck raisins in it.
Because I didn't know.
Well, you're not looking for raisins.
I put my memory card in and ended up ruining the card and the PS2 because it's just mashing in a bunch of raisins.
I like that, because I didn't know. It's like, I hadn't, at the time, I wasn't doing my daily raisin checks.
I wasn't checking it for raisins.
Oh my God. The other memory was my friend wanted to play Pokemon Sapphire on the Game Boy Advance, so I let him, and he decided to delete my save and start it over again. Just because he didn't like my Pokemon. I was savage. Not as savage as the raisin boy. Look,
just jamming them in. Raisin ruined the entire PS.
That's like, where they go.
You can't take it to show. It's like, we literally can do nothing for this. You basically just mash
full of
raisins.
Full of raisins.
To be fair, I understand this because I had the same thing.
Raisins?
Not raisins,
currants.
But my younger brother, Colin, because we shared a lot of the same toys, like, he just went through one of those stages as a kid where you just fucking chew on everything. Oh. Just chew, like...
A chewer, eh?
So, like, all my action figures, like, he would borrow them for a day. You'd come back, and, like, their heads would just be mashed. He'd be like, were you chewing on that? And he'd be like, no.
Yes. Is he younger? Why is he older than you?
Younger. It's Colin.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
He's so, like John Merrick.
So, like, oh, like, it would be, like, fucking, I don't know, a pirate or something, and all their swords would be bent and chewed on.
He's like, what's happened here? He's like, oh, you had a battle.
With my mouth.
Yeah. Kraken at him.
Final bad gaming memory is from Ben.
Oh, man.
Here's a tragic gaming memory for you guys. When I was 14, 15, I was hopelessly trying to complete Call of Duty Modern Warfare Mile High Club mission on the hardest difficulty in a short amount of time for an elusive achievement, Achiever Hunter. I fell so many times, the red mist descended on me, and I punched a hole in my bedroom wall. I was terrified that my parents would find out and perform a similarly violent act on me. I managed to cover the hall with a massive McDonald's Big Tasty banner that I borrowed from the McDonald's where I worked at the time. This thing was massive. See attached image for scale of things.
Oh, yes, please.
Look at the size of this banner you got from work. It's like a huge banner. So the image is like a big banner you put on a roadside to advertise McDonald's.
Yeah.
My parents thought I was quirky / fucking mental for having this huge banner in my room, but I managed to hide the hall for a year and 6 months. By the time my parents found the hall, they saw the funny side of it and congratulated me on hiding it for so long.
Jesus. I think I'd rather them find the hole than like
have a big tasty banner.
Than having a chat late at night being like, all right, we should talk about the poster.
Imagine his parents being weird. Yeah. Imagine it's like, why has he not just got a picture of like Rita Hayworth?
Yeah, just yeah. like a normal poster on there.
Big Tasty.
That is weird. I mean, it's not hard to go buy a poster. Why did he just go scab a McDonald's banner? Like, you could go to HMV like, and get one for like fiver.
Yeah, it's because it's like, I never do it. But like, you know, like also like some teenage boys will have like posters of women in their bedroom.
Yeah, yeah.
And his parents go, is he just really into Big Tasty?
He just really loves Big Tasty. To be fair, Big Tasty is the best burger.
Big Tasty.
Big Tasty is fucking great. That's awesome.
I don't think I've ever had one, so
couldn't
possibly comment.
Listen out, bro. We got any more?
That's it,
man.
Wicked. If you want to get in touch with us, you can. IGN_UKfeedback@IGN.com. Until next week.
Bye. Bye-bye. Respect me, daddy.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.